I would like everyone that can gather into the tabernacle as close as possible. We've got seats up here. I know we got children. I understand that. But I want you to hear the word of the Lord tonight. I appreciate Brother Larry Winkler. He is a blessing to this camp meeting. I appreciate God's hand that's on his life and his faithfulness to God. He's God's man for this hour. I want you to hear him gladly as he comes to preach to us God's word and to carry out the service as he feels led of the Lord. I love you, brother. Amen. Appreciate you.
You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. We certainly have been blessed to the Lord today through the preaching of the word and the wonderful songs that have been sung. And I am honored and humbled to be a part of this camp meeting. I heard Adrian Rogers say one time at Camp Zion that he was nervous. So I guess I got a right to be nervous as well. I've been preaching 62 years, but I still need the help of the Lord more than ever. I heard Dr. Stephen Olford say one time, he still got butterflies in his stomach, but at least they fly in formation. I do praise God for what he's done and said to us through his word. Thank you, Brother Townsend, for the message that challenged my heart and stirred my heart toward God. And I certainly do appreciate this camp meeting and the way that God has used it down through the years. This is an old-time Baptist camp meeting. There are not as many of them as there used to be, because sometimes when churches die, the camp meetings die. But I appreciate Brother Stephen and the Calvary Baptist Church and all the churches that have assisted and carried the burden for all these years, and there are many of you here tonight, and we are honored and humbled to have this privilege, and I pray that God will accomplish his divine purpose in our hearts during these days. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, lust, action, attitude, whatever about me that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll forgive me and cleanse me of it. Thou said that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and I pray that nothing shall be between my heart and thee. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the wonderful word we've heard preached this morning and tonight. Thank you for the wonderful songs that have been sung. They've lifted our hearts up in remembrance and gratitude to your mercies and your grace. Thank you so much for this camp meeting. Thank you for this dear man of God, Brother Steve, as he leads the meeting. I pray that you'll continue to give him physical strength and spiritual anointing and wisdom as he directs these meetings. Thank you for every church that is a part of it. Thank you for all these men of God. I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. Oh, dear God, I do pray that you will be pleased to revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, and sinners shall be converted. I pray, Lord Jesus, tonight, should there be any among us that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith, I pray that this will be the hour of salvation. Lord Jesus, touch thy servant. I pray for that special anointing. Illuminate my mind. Loose my tongue. And may the gospel go forth, not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. And we will praise and bless your divine name for the distance you take us in this service. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer and soon coming King, I humbly pray, amen. It's in my heart to speak to you as God shall direct this week about justification. I want to speak to you tonight about the state of justification. I'm sure that the most sought after thing in this world is peace. A person without Christ will never be satisfied materially, politically, or religiously. If a person gets $100,000, they want $200,000. They get that, they want $1 million, and it goes on and on. If a person is elected to a local position in his city or county, he wants to be a state senator. And if that happens, he wants to be a congressman. And then a United States senator. And then president. And if he's elected president, he wants to be elected a second term. And so it goes on and on. There's no peace in this world apart from Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his grace. And Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. From our first holy longing toward God until our ultimate glorification, it is all through God's grace, through his darling Son. We are justified by faith. Therefore, be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Robert McShane, that great Scottish preacher, wrote, when I stand before him, dressed in garments not my own, then I shall know, and not unto then, how much I owe. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. All that I am in the grace of God, I owe to Jesus Christ. Now there can be no peace with God apart from Jesus Christ. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven in all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And you cannot have peace with God. That you cannot have the peace of God until you have peace with God. Philippians 4:7 says, in nothing be anxious, but in all things with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace that passes all understanding. So keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Justification by faith gives us immediate peace. Immediately, when God's grace comes to our heart, there is peace. It gives us peace and place and fellowship with God. It makes us rejoice in our final glorification. Romans 14:7 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it comes in that order. There's no peace without righteousness. And there's no righteousness without Christ. And there is no joy in the Holy Ghost without peace. But if you have righteousness and peace, you have joy in the Holy Ghost. This peace comes from God. It is of the Lord. Now you notice how often the Apostle Paul says to our Lord Jesus Christ in the first four chapters of Romans, he feels that he can't say that name too often. And I'm sure that all of us that are saved have the same feeling, the same attitude. All the glorious blessings that Paul preaches and teaches about is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you as fond of that name as Jesus was, or as Apostle Paul was? Christ is the only way. Do you like repeating that name? Do you like saying that name? I remember many years ago, I read a preacher and he was talking about praying. in Jesus' name. And he said, sometimes try praying in the name of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. Close your prayer and say, in the name of Abraham Lincoln. And I was young and I thought I would try it. And I prayed and I closed in the name of George Washington. Nothing. I prayed another prayer in the name of Abraham Lincoln. Nothing. But I just prayed a few words and said, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I cannot tell you, it was like God poured a bucket of liquid love in my soul. I love that name. I love to hear that name. You can't praise him too much. You can't utter that name too much. Jesus, 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 Jesus. As I've often said, and my wife told me not long ago not to repeat myself, but sometimes I can't help it. But I've often said that I do not know what my last words on earth will be. I do not know if I'll even have any last words. I might not even be conscious to speak any last words. But I do think I know what my first word in heaven will be. Jesus. Jesus. It is Jesus that has brought me safe thus far. It is Jesus that has given me joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is Jesus that floods my soul with glory divine. Thank God that name that's above every name. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You love that name. I thank you do if you're saved. Oh, what a lovely name. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Sweetest note in Sarah's song. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest count ever sung. Jesus. Blessed. Jesus. Jesus. What a blessed name. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the conditions of this peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the only way that God could remain just or remain God in all of his attributes was through sending his son into this world as the propitiation for our sins. That means he laid on his darling son. He poured out all of his wrath on his son. And Christ died on the cross for our sins. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But it was necessary that something should happen on our part. And all that we could do was cry and look to God and ask for mercy. It is because of what Christ did. And it's because God offers us peace. You find an amazing thing in the Bible. God has sent his son to reconcile us unto God. It is with that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And that's an amazing thing. That the offended God, the one who was offended, would take the initiative in removing that offense. And he did that through the death of his son. And he came to us, the vile offenders, the criminals, the wretches. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. They didn't search through heaven to find a Savior. He's the only one worthy, the only one qualified to bear the sin of the world in his own body. And so as a result, we have this peace with God because of what Christ did on the cross. It is because of his finished work. It is the Holy Ghost who awakens a sinner and brings that individual to the place of repentance and faith in salvation. You remember at Ephesus when Paul preached the gospel. The gospel conflicted with men's ideas of salvation. And those Ephesians sometimes who worship the god Diana would stand and chant for 2 hours at a time, "Great Diana, great Diana," and worship her and think that blessings came from Diana. Our blessings come from Jesus Christ. And our access is through Jesus Christ. Now the Virgin Mary was blessed among women, and she was a great woman, but she is not our Savior. You remember Jesus said in John 2:4, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And of course, he's not being disrespectful to his mother. But now it is in a spiritual sense. The womb of the Virgin Mary was the vehicle by which the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And that holy thing, that child, the Lord Jesus, was born. But his mother saith to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And of course, the Virgin Mary, the worship of Mary, called Mariolatry, is just an extension of the worship of Diana. I rejoice for the Virgin Mary. She was indeed a woman blessed among women and highly esteemed. But Mary is not my Savior. When I pray, I do not go to Mary. I go to Jesus. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, you find in that prayer meeting, as they awaited the arrival of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, "And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus." Now you note that they didn't pray to Mary, but Mary prayed with him. She was praying not to her son, but to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is through him that we have access to God. I don't have to pray to some departed saint, and I do not have to pray to the Virgin Mary. Why should I? I have direct access to the throne of God. Somebody says, "Well, if you pray to the Virgin Mary, if you pray to a saint, then Mary goes to Jesus and gives him your request. Why do I need to do that when I can go to Jesus in the first place?" There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I have a direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Therefore, been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of our calling, salvation, is through him. And this hope is based on what God has done for us. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Romans 4:24 says, "We believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, there is none else." I had the privilege a time or two to visit Newmarket, England, where Charles Spurgeon was from, and where he was converted anyhow, and of course grew up close by. But one snowy morning, Charles Spurgeon went to a Methodist church, and there was about 8 people there. And that Methodist preacher said, as he looked at Spurgeon, "Young man, you seem in trouble. God will get you out of it if you look to Christ." And then Spurgeon said, he lifted up his hands and cried, "Look, look, young man, and he will save you." And Charles Spurgeon said, "I looked and I saw at once the way of salvation. Oh, how I did leap for joy at the moment. I looked until I almost looked my eyes out. And in heaven, I'll still look on him with unspeakable joy. I looked unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. I came to him in mercy and in grace, for we are saved through what he did on the cross." Now, there's no way to be reconciled to God except through the death of Jesus Christ. In Genesis 4, you find there's one lamb for one man whose name was Abel. In Genesis 12, there's a lamb for one family. As the Israelites slew a lamb for each household, awaiting the death angel to pass at the sight of the blood on the post. In Leviticus 16, there's a lamb for one nation. On Yom Kippur, at the Day of Atonement. But in John 1:29, there's a lamb for the whole world. Behold, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I'm saying to you tonight, behold, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is mighty to save. He does save. And he will save you. The Bible says that we're to look unto him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, people talk about their faith sometimes. And sometimes they tell you to look in a direction where there's nothing. I read once, I believe it was the year 1915, a young man and some of his friends wanted to play a prank on people. And they stood on a busy intersection. This is 1915. And one of those young people said, "It is." And another one said, "It is not." And on they went and just kept looking up. Have you ever tried that? If you stand on the street and look up, the whole crowd will soon be looking up. But the thing is, they were looking at nothing. They made it up. Finally, 15 or 20 people gathered, and they're all looking up. One man said, "I think it's a balloon." Of course, it could have been back in the spring. He saw a Chinese balloon. But another one said, I think it's this or that. And he kept looking, and they looked. And they stood there half a day, Brother Steve, looking at nothing. Now, if you're looking to somewhere besides Jesus Christ, you're looking at nothing. It won't work. Keep looking to Buddha. You'll get nothing. You can even look into the Baptist. You'll get nothing. But I'm telling you, if you look to Jesus Christ, you shall live. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. I was in a Bible conference in Indiana back in the winter, and a family was a missionary family in China that had been asked to leave. And anyhow, somehow some communists heard this dear brother and his wife and family sing. And so they invited him to a communist meeting. This is Chinese. Red communist. And there were people from different countries. And they liked their singing. And I'm sure that those Chinese communists thought that they would entertain them. But you know what that missionary family sung? "My faith has found a resting place. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. All that I am is in Jesus Christ. I am what I am by the grace of God. And we can have no blessing except from God. If you've been justified by faith, it's forever. It's not a turnstile or revolving door. Some have heard me say this. Back in January, I said to my church one Sunday morning, I hate revolving doors. I do. I hate them. I got caught in one just a few weeks before that, like they never got out. And it was the next day, going to Alabama, Brother Dana, and I got a phone call, and I was looking at my phone going out, not paying any attention to the revolving door, and all of a sudden I saw stars and a big crash, and I'd missed the exit. And by the time I got to Alabama, has a big blue place on my head. But I'm not in a revolving door. I got in, and I can't get out. Noah and his family and the animals went in the ark, and they came out. And I just read that verse again. I believe it's the 8th chapter. Somehow today it just stood out with me as a flashing light. Noah came out of the ark. He and his family, every one of them, every one that went in came out. Even those little animals came out, every one of them. And everyone that God's ever saved will safely arrive in Emmanuel's land. Not a one should be missing in the grace of God, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The soul is secured. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The fear of death is controlled by the devil. It was the devil that introduced death into this world when sin entered in the Garden of Eden. Hebrews 2:15 says, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And before the Lord saved me, at the age of 9, I had an unusual fear of death. And all I knew was that they put you in a box and buried you. And I still don't relish the thought, but I know more about it. And I was in, I don't know, the 3rd grade, and I'd check books out of the library and read about ghosts in North Carolina, about people being buried alive. And they'd open up their graves and caskets and find out they'd been alive and scratching to get out. Just scared the life out of me. But the Lord saved me. That fear of death was suddenly removed. Now, I don't want to die. And I don't know what my reaction will be in death. But I do know this. He has removed the sting of death. And I do know now that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I think more and more about dying. And much has been said about old age and youth, and I won't make an issue out of that. But I have been thinking more and more about dying. I'm looking for the Lord to come first, of course. That's who and what I'm looking for. But I know that someday, if he does not come, that I'm going to die. And I know that this body will be placed in a grave. Just recently, my wife and I brought a cemetery plot at Blue Ridge Cemetery in Lenore. And I'd even suggested to her maybe we have a service on that grave. Somebody sing, preach, but she shot that idea down pretty quick. But I do know this. As William Capper said, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Their dying lamb, thy precious blood, shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. I am grateful that I have the hope that to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Peace, justified by faith, peace with God. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. My hope is anchored within the veil, in the blood of Christ. My hope is in Christ and His finished work. That anchor's not out in the sea somewhere. It's in heaven, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, which entereth into that within the veil. In the Old Testament tabernacle, when you would go through the first place and through the first veil, and in to pass the table of showbread and the lights, and then into the Holy of Holies, that the priest could only go once a year. And above the ark was the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But between that pillar of fire or the pillar of the cloud, there was the ark of the covenant, guarded by the seraphim, the cherubim rather. And in that ark of the covenant, overlaid with gold, were the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments God had given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and Aaron's rod that budded. But between the law and between the glory above, the high priest had pressed the blood, and there is security through the blood of Jesus Christ. The law condemned me, and the law could not save me. But the blood of Jesus Christ has removed all my guilt. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. And I refuse to sing. Jesus paid 99% of it. Only 10% I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it light pink. Not on your life. On His precious blood, my hope is built, and I'm trusting in nothing more and nothing less than the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.